Today on Real Radio.
The dangers of deception are real. And deception has as its goal compromise. Compromise is fine in politics and sales, but it can never be allowed in spiritual matters. Compromise is killing Christians today, and it constantly comes against all of us.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. The believer understands that there are dangers that come our way that might threaten to undermine or weaken our faith. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in this presentation called The Discipline of Danger.
The disciplines of danger, number one, is this: the dangers of deception. Now, I'm only going to give you four of them. There's an infinite number of them, but we'll go with four tonight. The disciplines of danger, this way: dangers of deception. They're huge, and they're in our culture today. Mark down this verse, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Paul the apostle told the church at Galatia, do not be deceived. You got to circle that word in your Bible, deceived. Don't be tricked. Do not be, in Greek, says stop being deceived. The Bible says that we have a propensity to be tricked, to be fooled. The Bible says stop being deceived. God is not mocked. Even when somebody's making fun of God, that's one thing of mockery. But when someone who's living a life that is not right according to Scripture, the Bible says God's not going to be mocked. That witness may be bad, but God will not be mocked. Follow along with me. For whatever a man sows, throws out by seed, as it were, into the soil. Think about it. That's a lot of seed going out. If you decide to recall those seeds, are you going to get them all? Nope. You'll miss one. That he also will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, capital S, the things of God, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Man, let me tell you, this is cool stuff. Because if you obey this right here, God will bless your life. Man, if you're out goofing around and doing the things of the world, number one, and you call yourself a Christian, you've deceived yourself. You've tricked your mind into thinking you're okay with God when you're not. God says, no, listen, if you're sowing to the flesh and then show up on Sunday or Wednesday and say, I'm good, and you have no intention to change your life or to have God, I should say, change your life, then you've been deceived. Deception. It's coming against all of us all the time. Deceptions in thoughts, deceptions in what we see, feel, or hear, deceptions bombarding us. That's why we need the Bible. Romans 7, verse 11 says, Paul said it regarding sin, that sin is a deceiver. He says, for sin, having taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Did you know that sin will deceive you? God commended Moses because Moses did not butter up to the pleasures of Egypt for a season, but forsook them and walked with God. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, but it's going to come home. It's going to sprout roots. It's going to sprout a stem. It's going to grow up, and then it's a weed that will strangle out the Word of God in your life. Paul says that sin deceived him. And we don't often think about the dangers of being a disciple of Jesus Christ regarding all manner of sin. It's a dangerous move when we begin to see some sin is bad and some sin is not so bad. It's like you have a little cobra. My daughter was showing me pictures of snakes yesterday. It's just, I hate snakes. And she goes, look how beautiful they are. I said, they're not beautiful. They all should just die and be dead. If they were real, I'd kill them right now. And she goes, well, look how pretty they are. Well, snakes are funny because when they're little, look. You know how things like when they're puppies, they're cute? Even like a pit bull is cute when it's a little puppy. Look at the, even a Shar Pei, you know those wrinkly dogs? They're cute when they're little. Everything's cute when it's a little duck, a little kitty. Okay, a little puppy, and then it grows up. A snake. You ever seen, look at the little snake. Isn't it cute? Did you know if you had a little baby rattlesnake, it'd kill you dead? It doesn't know how to regulate its venom, so it releases everything when it gets you, and it will kill you more than an adult. Oh, but it's so cute. Look how cute the little snake is. It'd kill you! Oh, it's just a little sin. Nobody knows. Just a little thing. It'll kill you. It'll come after you. The dangers of deception are very real. And behind every deception, there's a deceiver. Think of that. Revelation 12, verse 9. Listen to this. This is an amazing verse because it gives you four names, four titles for Satan. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. Wow. That's tremendous. 2 John chapter 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's an awesome statement, by the way. Jesus, the Christ Messiah, according to the scripture, has come in the flesh. That means you've got to confess and believe that Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible as revealed in the Word, or you are a deceiver. It says this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Yikes. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. You guys okay? You're awful quiet. You all right? 2 Corinthians 11, 13 says, for such are false apostles. This cracks me up. Apostles. Where do you think you're going to find an apostle? In the church, in a religious setting. The Bible says, watch out. There'll be false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Woo! Dangerous thing. Spiritual matters are exposing spiritual deception. I wrote down just a few things. Number one, deception knows how to talk. It can talk really nice. Deception knows how to flatter. Anybody flattering you, get away from them. I'm serious. That's a scary moment. Deception knows how to entice. It can look really good to my senses. Think about that. What are you attracted to? Say, Pastor, what? Every one of us are attracted to a flavor. Either something that you want, it could be sexual, it could be power, it could be money. What is it? Whatever that thing is, you better mark it. Somebody might say, well, I'm attracted to short, bald men. Well, then stay away from those short, bald men. You might say, well, I'm attracted to tall, blondes. Or then stay away from tall blondes. You say, Jack, are you serious? I'm serious. Be careful. Now, if you're attracted to tall blondes and you're married to one, then fantastic. But that's the only one you're allowed to be attracted to. Did you know that? What else? Deception knows how to be religious. That's the scariest type of deception, most dangerous. It can seem spiritual. Deception knows how to create a false faith. It can make promises. Deception. Trust in me. Follow me. Watch out. Just like this government currently right now wants us literally to trust them without knowing what the bill says. They won't let us read it yet. But trust us! We have no idea where we're going, but follow us! That's scary enough in government. Think about things regarding God or gods. Follow us! Where are we going? We don't know. We'll tell you when we get there, but watch out. Deception knows how to flatter. It can sound encouraging. Watch out. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of this earth, not meaty. Or I should say, they are meaty, carnal. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, listen to this, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That verse alone, I tell you what, that verse alone, back in my early Christian days, saved my life. I had this on my car. I had it in my bathroom. I had it in my living room of my apartment, that verse right there. Bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. Do you ever have weird thoughts? Four of you guys do? Me, you, and us four. We all have bizarre thoughts. What do you do with them? You arrest them and bring them under the captivity of Jesus. When that picture flies up in your head, Lord, take it out now in Jesus' name. Lord God, take it out. You fight it. See, Pastor, how many times in a day do I do that? How many times does that thing flash up in your mind? What do you do? Give up after the third time? Well, you know, I'm done. No, you fight, fight, fight. Listen, being a real Christian is really something. Man, if you're here tonight, it's Christianity is easy for me. It's easy. Yeah, no problem. I don't even think about it. Man, I tell you, we need to get together. Come with us when we go to a house and someone's head's spinning around, you know, and green soup's flying out of their face. It's like, easy. Come on. Or somebody says, I'm dying and I don't believe in God. What are you going to tell them? I tell you what, it's amazing. The dangers of deception are real. And deception has as its goal compromise. Compromise is fine in politics and sales, but it can never be allowed in spiritual matters. Compromise is killing Christians today, and it constantly comes against all of us. I fight it all the time, I'll be honest with you. In the pulpit, counseling with people, in sermons and messages. It's easy to be bold when you're studying for a message and you write it down. Oh man, you know what? And then you read that or you pray, God, what do you want me to say here? And wow! And you write that down. And then when I come up here, it's like, what? I can't say that. Somebody might get offended. You can't do that. You can't do that. It's a very dangerous thing. What about dealing with deception then? Stay focused, Christian, on what's true, the Bible. Know your Bible. You hear that every week here. For example, what does the Bible say about my situation? What situation are you currently in? Every Christian's in a situation right now. Here's the cool thing. I thank God for them. Why? It makes you go to the Bible. It makes you get the answer. The Christian will be driven to the Word of God. The situation, are you in one? Then ask God, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to learn from this situation? And that very thing is going to result in you knowing what to do. 1 John 2:27, one of the most comforting verses in all of the Bible. 1 John 2:27, know it. It's a great one. But the anointing... It's a reference to the work of the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him who abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit again, concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Every Christian, that's a great verse. You know what's so cool about that verse? I can see somebody who comes, accepts Jesus Christ right here, and in 10 minutes, they'll say something like this. Yeah, you know, it's awesome. I just accepted Christ a moment ago. And I got to tell you, these people have been knocking on my door for weeks, and they started talking to me about God, and it was just really odd. And then now I know the truth and that what they were saying was wrong. Happens in a second. You want to know why? The moment a baby's born, that baby is not only that birth mom baby right there, she witnessed the birth of it, but there's a cord attached. The moment you're born again, the Holy Spirit attaches you to the things of God. And the brand new believer has an instant wisdom from heaven. I've seen it 1,000 times. It's glorious. the work of God. He doesn't abort any of his kids, and he doesn't leave any of his kids off to the side of the room. He's there. And the Bible calls that an anointing. Stay focused on what your calling is. Christian, please, if you don't know what your ministry is to the body of Christ, you've got to find that out. Right now, you're shooting blanks, or you're wandering in the wilderness, or you're driving without a steering wheel. You're sailing without a rudder. Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you're going to heaven. But no one depends on your life spiritually. And you're not making a difference spiritually. And God is saying, come on. More on that in a moment. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Listen, disciples, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together, that's church, for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way are you terrified by your adversaries, which is to them, watch this, which is to them a proof of perdition. But to you, it is the proof of your salvation. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Man, when you stand up and you're the only one standing, and you say, this is what the Bible says, and so that's what I'm going to say. This is it. He'll back you up. And guess what happens? People will either come against you and condemn you and contradict you. And by doing so, they are proving the fact that they don't know God. Or if they do agree with you, then it causes those covert, undercover believers to step up. Amen. Think about that. I once had a high school kid tell me years ago, Pastor Jack, I wish somebody on my high school campus would have announced that they were a Christian, because I felt like I was the only Christian on campus. I didn't know any other believers. What if there's 20 believers in your high school class and you guys are all covert undercovers? There's a real story. I don't want to go too far off of this thing, but it's the band Kansas. Remember the band Kansas? Is it Kerry Ludgrove or whatever his name was? Dust in the Wind. All We Are Is Dust in the Wind. He wrote that song after he got saved. And then he wound up leaving the band after a year and a half after he got saved. He wound up leaving the band a year and a half later. And when it was all done, the drummer said, what are you leaving for? He goes, I can't live this lifestyle anymore. It's been killing me. I'm a Christian. And the drummer goes, are you kidding me? I'm a Christian too. I've been a Christian. How come you didn't tell me you were a Christian? Two guys in the same band, world famous band, Kansas. Two Christians that never shared with each other. Isn't that funny? I thought it was funny. Tragically funny, I guess. Number two, the disciplines of danger, danger of perception. Number two, dangers of perception. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5, then Sanballat, he was a goofball bad guy, sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, it is reported among the people, and it goes on slandering Nehemiah. This knucklehead's walking around town, yeah, look, going to take this letter to Nehemiah, it's for his eyes only. You say, I don't understand an open letter. Blogs. That's the new open letters. Any form of public communication. You can say anything. Doesn't have to be true. It was not true against Nehemiah. Sanballat made up this story, began to publish it all around the place, trying to stop the work of God. Nehemiah. Oh, read the book of Nehemiah. It's awesome. There's a point where all the guys love it. There's a point where Nehemiah shows up, grabs a guy by his beard, throws him out in the street, takes his furniture and throws it all over out in the street and on top of the guy and everything else. He's like, yes! Perception. The danger of perception is this. It tries to breed intimidation, and intimidation leads to control. And if you're under the control of somebody, it leads to falsehood. The Christian has been found, listen, the Christian has been found delivered by God, but the world would try to have you have the wrong perceptions and sequester your heart, your mind, your faith, your voice. Nehemiah would not be silent. Nehemiah was attacked by his enemies, with an open letter. That's the epitome in that day of gossip. Huge. There's a great danger in inciting emotions, the emotions of others, J.C. Ryles speaks of in his book. There's a great danger to inciting the imagination of others. Think about that quote for a moment. Things like this. Well, you know, I can't tell you everything about Susie right now, but I'll just say you really need to pray for her. Did you know that if that is done by someone, that is a sin so huge, God will so judge that person. It is gigantic to say such a thing. It's draped in religiosity as you begin to put into the mind of the innocent an insinuation or a picture to cause that person to be viewed in a bad light. God says, I'm going after that person who does that. He hates that. Read the book of Proverbs. He says, I hate that. False witness. Wow. Be careful. Why? Because perception is what we would call today also peer pressure. The danger of peer pressure is killing people. Throughout the ages, God's people have always been under attack. It's always going to be. And listen, if you're doing a work for God, you're going to be attacked. But we're in good company. I'll just name a few people who were attacked by their peers. Joseph, Daniel, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul. On it goes. Matthew 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, here it is, falsely for my sake. Wow, it's like Jesus knew all about the web. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's amazing to realize there are people deployed among God's people, says the Bible, so as to cause harm and destruction. Why? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. John 8, 44, you are of your father the devil, Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, and the desires of your father you want to do. Listen to this. He was, that is Satan, a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies, says the Bible. Wow. Avoid the dangers of perception by identifying yourself with Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Danger. A look at what Scripture says about the dangers we face as true followers of Jesus. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again or purchase the message in its entirety. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and right under Pastor Jack's photo, click the tab that says Today's Broadcast. And then the word purchase if you'd like to hear the presentation in its entirety. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.